God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things.
Jesus did give us a wonderful promise and something to latch on to. Greetings, this is Pastor Larry. Thank you for tuning in to your Watchman on the Wall broadcast of Southwest Radio Church. In John 14, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." What a wonderful promise the Lord has given to us. Jesus has ascended, the Bible tells us he did, and he's coming again to receive us unto himself. The Bible also tells us that wonderful truth. I have often heard people say you can be so heavenly minded that you are no earthly good. But you know, friends, the Bible tells us that being heavenly minded is the only way that we can be any earthly good. We are to set our affections on heavenly things, according to Colossians 3. The sweetness of knowing no matter how hard life on this earth is, there is something better awaiting each and every one of us. What an encouragement that is. Once we have settled that in our minds, we can be of service to God and man on this earth. Dr. Ed Heinsohn is one of the general editors of the Harvest Handbook of Bible Prophecy. Dr. Heinsohn is the Dean of the School of Divinity and Distinguished Professor of Religion at Liberty University. We're visiting with him for this show. We're going to be talking about the last days, the end times, and other related topics, and we're going to be offering the Harvest Handbook of Bible Prophecy. Our announcer will tell you at the end of the show how you can get this very, very helpful handbook. Thank you, Ed, for being on the show with us.
All right, Larry. It's always good to talk to you and your audience. You have a wonderful bunch of people at Southwest Radio, and we're excited about this new book. I think it's going to meet a terrific need, and it's very easy to use. Every topic's in alphabetical order, so you can look it up in order. If you want to check on the Antichrist or the nation of Israel or the tribulation or the rapture, you just look it up under its alphabetical order, and there it is. Over 140 topics by about 40 different authors.
One of the things I like about it, I mean, I like everything about it, but I'm thinking of the charts. For example, I'm looking at the chart that compares the pre-wrath and the pre-trib rapture views. It lays everything out. You know, the chart showing the distinction between the rapture, the glorious appearing is so helpful. I'm kind of a visual guy, and I guess many of us are. We like to see the broad framework of things, and then we can start looking up scriptures and see how it all fits. But I think the book is really, really, this is a strong point for the Harvest Handbook.
Yeah, it helps make the topic you're dealing with come alive in some sequential order. So it helps people understand, oh, okay, now I get it. The rapture has to come first, before the judgment seat of Christ, before the marriage, and then before the return. I like to remind people you have to go up to heaven in the rapture before you come back with Christ in the return.
Well, Ed, you are one of the most eloquent defenders of the pre-trib rapture, and I think it really is the blessed hope, not the blasted hope. Maybe just tell us, how is the pre-trib rapture a motivator for evangelism and holy living? Because I think that's what we need today, evangelism and holy living. So how does the pre-trib rapture really set the fire under us and get us going?
Yeah, it reminds us that whatever we do, we have to do with enthusiasm and commitment, because you never know when the trumpet might sound and the archangel might shout and the Lord might call us home. I think the recent coronavirus pandemic has reminded people how quickly things can change worldwide, globally, in a flash, in a matter of a brief period of time, and look at the chaos the world has been thrown into. Well, imagine what will happen 5 minutes or 5 days after the rapture, with millions of people are suddenly missing, and governments all over the world are trying to figure out what happened and how do we then control the economy moving forward. I think the belief in the pre-tribulational rapture, that it could potentially happen imminently at any time, I think motivates us to say, If you're going to share the gospel with somebody, don't wait for what appears to be the opportune time. You may not have time. Sooner than later is always the right time. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. So I think that view does motivate us that way. Now, that's not to say that people who hold other views are concerned about giving the gospel to people. They are, but I think there's a tendency to say, well, if you have to go through tribulation first, you know, then if I see that happen, or I see the Antichrist come on the scene, then I'll go tell everybody they need to get saved. Well, what if Jesus comes first? I had a guy say to me one time, he said, well, you know, what if the rapture doesn't happen first, and what if we go through trouble and you haven't prepared him to face trouble in the future? I said, well, what if you haven't prepared him to face the Lord and he comes first, and it's too late? So that logic works both ways. I think the motivation to live right and to reach the world with the gospel in evangelism and missions is most greatly enhanced by the pre-tribulational view.
Well, and I also think imminence is so clearly taught in the Bible that it stares us in the face. And so, I mean, the only way that you can preserve imminence, I think, is with the pre-trib rapture. And that's, you know, you just touched on that. But the other views, there are a lot of other things that, you know,
would have to happen first, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
we're post-trib, you've got to go through tribulation first. If you are post-millennial, you've got to bring in the kingdom of heaven on earth first before the king comes back. And we're a long ways away from that. I've had some premillennialists literally say, well, it might take 20,000 years. Well, the planet doesn't have 20,000 years. The human race doesn't have 20,000 years. Given the depravity of the human race and the existence of weapons of mass destruction, I think the clock is ticking every single time. The group that does what's called the doomsday clock keeps nudging it closer and closer to midnight all the time. And what's going on right now, I think, is pushing us even closer in the direction of the world saying, hey, we need a global leader to straighten this all out someday. And I think the stage is clearly set for the coming of the Lord. And those of us that believe nothing has to happen before the rapture could occur want to live ready to go at a moment's notice because we realize Jesus could come at any moment.
I remember Dr. Tim LaHaye, of course, he's with the Lord now, but, you know, our pre-trib study group, you know, we got into a lot of heavy stuff, but Dr. LaHaye always brought it back to evangelism, and he had such a warm heart. He told story after story, and I'm thinking, I'm looking around, you know, beginning Dave Hunt was there and a whole bunch of really deep thinkers, and it's all good stuff. You know, we had a lot of good papers on all kinds of topics, but Dr. LaHaye was so sweet. He'd always keep us straight and remind us about evangelism and living a holy life because we don't know when Jesus is going to come. He might come before we finish the show.
Right. And there's a need that the contemporary church has. It's evangelism and holy living. Both of those things tend to be missing, unfortunately, in a lot of churches today. They give a nice message, but there's no call to faith. Evangelistically, or there's no call even to foreign missions. There's many churches, almost no emphasis on holy living. We're so against, we want to react against legalism and extremism to the point that we've almost gone into licentious liberalism in some cases where anything goes and you can still claim to be a Christian in the name of grace. So I think that what we view about the future has a lot to say about how we function in the present.
Amen. Well, Wednesday night at our church, our midweek Bible study, we've been studying the first part of Revelation 13, the Antichrist, and then the false prophet in verses 11 through 17 of chapter 13 is, I think, very important in understanding the tribulation. We certainly don't want to ignore the ministry of the false prophet. The Antichrist will not rise to power alone. His success will result from the spiritual deception perpetrated by the false prophet, the second beast. He's a real bad dude, and I think with all deception today, that's really a good passage to study, Revelation 13, 11 through 17. Of course, the whole passage.
That's interesting you had mentioned that because I actually wrote the article on the false prophet in the Harvest Handbook, and I also wrote a parallel article on false prophets, plural, in general. that there are many false prophets throughout the Old Testament and even in New Testament times and, of course, throughout church history. But the ultimate false prophet, an individual, is coming in the future, you're right, who will do everything he can to promote, assist, and pave the way for the Antichrist, ultimately to rule the world.
Right, right. I'm thinking in verse 12, it says he causes the earth. You know, the idea of causing, it's got to have a lot of deceptive power. Verse 13, he performs great signs. Wow. Verse 14, he deceives those who dwell on the earth. And then verse 16, he causes all, both small and great, both rich and poor and so on and so forth, to receive the mark. Do you think this causing is basically by deception, or do you think he might have some kind of power where he can even, you know, affect the mental processes of people, blind their minds, just suck them in? So it's more than deception. It's something that actually happens to their brains, maybe.
It's possible. He's certainly a deceptive person. And if he's empowered by Satan, Satan is a liar and a deceiver. So he's going to use the tactics of Satan. And it's one of those statements, again, in the Bible, you read it and realize, man, you don't want to be left behind. And just think, well, I'll wait till the rapture occurs. I've had people say that, too. If everybody disappears, then I'll know it's the rapture and I'll get saved. Probably not. You're going to believe the lie, 2 Thessalonians 2 says, be deceived by the false prophet and the Antichrist. And if you're already being deceived into thinking you can just wait, you'll really be deceived once you're left behind. So I would tell people, if you're not going to come to faith in Christ now, in a time of relative peace and prosperity, you're never going to come to faith in Christ at a time when it's going to cost you your life. If you're not willing to live for Christ, there's no way you're going to be willing to die for Christ.
Well, that's really, really good stuff. You just, like I said, you're very eloquent on all that. But let's talk about the Jews during the tribulation. What's going to happen to them? I mean, we've got Jeremiah 30, Matthew 24, Revelation 12, Zechariah 13. What's going to happen to the Jews and Israel, and what are some of the things going to happen there?
Well, that's all dealt with, again, in the topic under Israel, Israel and prophecy, the topic on the conversion of the Jews, etc. I think the Bible makes it very clear. There has to come a time when God opens a fountain for cleansing in the house of David for the people of Israel and Jerusalem. And while Jesus certainly died on the cross to make that possible, there's never been a massive conversion of Jews since the first century. And we look forward to the time when that will happen. Now, I think there are a lot of Jewish people coming to faith today, understanding Jesus really is the promised Messiah, HaMashiach, and they're understanding that, and more are coming to faith in him all the time, but you still have a long way to go. I think as I read the Bible in its totality, that after the rapture, I think a couple of main Jewish leaders who know the New Testament, and many of them do, will realize this is the rapture. Let's not kid ourselves. Jesus says, come for the church. We've been left behind. They'll become the two witnesses that then start preaching the gospel to their people. Then you have 144,000 that are converted out of Israel, out of the 12 tribes. Those have to be Jewish people. Their identity is clearly described there in the book of Revelation. And then beyond that, they'll begin a massive evangelistic campaign among Jewish people all over the planet and around the world. So I still, as Paul said, look forward to the day that all Israel will be saved. That day will come, but it's not going to come, I don't think, until after the rapture. But the fact that it's starting to show glimmers of it right now tells me we're closer to the rapture than ever before.
I was saved in a Christian Reformed church maybe 55 years ago, and it was a good church, but they were amillennial, and you know the commentator, William Hendrickson, he did a lot of good stuff, but he wrote a commentary, basically a good commentary from, of course, the Reformed position on Romans, the book of Romans, and I remember when I was just a young Christian, I'm studying Romans 11, and it became so obvious that this great expositor, whom I really admired, was doing hermeneutical gymnastics to get Israel out of Romans 11. He's trying to make it say something else.
Yeah, I, I'm working on a new book myself right now on the believer's exciting future. Seven things God has for every believer. The rapture, the trip to the Father's house, the judgment seat of Christ, the marriage, the return, etc. And I have his book on life hereafter. And right, as brilliant as he is on some things, and defending the person of Jesus, etc., I was reading his section where he tries to argue that the millennium comes in Revelation 20 before chapter 19 and the return. Any simple reading of Revelation, Christ returns in chapter 19 and binds Satan and ushers in the kingdom in chapter 20. But if you think the church is the kingdom and the church is already here in the kingdom age, then you have to reverse that. And you're right, he goes through all kinds of mental gymnastics, and I'm reading it thinking, how could a guy so smart be so dumb on this one issue? But you blind yourself to the obvious sometimes, and I think one of the great things about the pre-tribulational view is it at least takes seriously all the pieces of the eschatological puzzle, where other views just sweep it all off the table and go, ah, he's coming again, I won't sweat the details. Pre-tribulationalists try to figure out how do all those things fall in sequence so we know what to expect in the future.
Wow, very well put. And friends, we've been visiting with Dr. Ed Heinsohn. The book is The Harvest Handbook of Bible Prophecy. Ed, thank you so much. Always a blessing. I can feel my heart thrill when I hear you speak about the pre-trib rapture. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and God bless you all.
Matthew, please come to the mic and tell our listeners how they can get our special offer.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Our special offer today is the popular book, The Harvest Handbook of Bible Prophecy. This book puts everything you need to know about the last days at your fingertips. And you can have your own copy for a gift of $35 if you live in the United States and $55 if you live in Canada. To place your order, just call our call center at 1-800-652-1144. If you'd rather write to us, please send your letter to Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And you can order it online on our website at swrc.com. Today, the hope that all believers on earth will be caught up to heaven is being challenged in new waves of criticism. Is the rapture really taught in the Bible? Can we really expect Jesus to gather up his followers before the Antichrist is revealed? Our very special offer today is when you order the book, The Harvest Handbook of Bible Prophecy. We will include at no additional charge. The book, Can We Still Believe in the Rapture? This book is also written by Mark Hitchcock and Ed Heinsohn. And it's yours when you order the book, The Harvest Handbook of Bible Prophecy. Now, let me be clear. This book is only available while supplies last. Once we give them all away, that is it. So call now, 1-800-652-1144. Or write to us at Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. Or visit our website at swrc.com. Here, once again, is Pastor Larry.
We want to give an update on the coronavirus pandemic and raise some important questions about the way the crisis is being handled. First, let's think of the impact on the economy. White House economic advisor Kevin Hassett said he believes that the unemployment rate could rise above 20% if the coronavirus-related lockdowns, which are now keeping millions of Americans out of work, continue for a few more weeks.
The Department of Labor revealed that more than 30 million Americans are now applying for unemployment insurance, and that nearly all the gains in the job market in the last decade have been wiped out in the 2 months of coronavirus-related lockdowns. The White House is seeking to allow most Americans to return to work sooner than later, and it has been encouraging states to open up so that small business owners and others struggling financially be allowed to serve customers and begin to recoup their losses.
Critics of the White House have said opening up too early could mean a second coronavirus peak and warned that millions of Americans could die if longer lockdowns are not left in effect. My question is, why is the left-wing media and presidential candidate Joe Biden insisting that we extend the lockdowns? There have been hundreds of thousands of coronavirus survivors. Many who have died from the coronavirus are elderly. They need to be sheltered and kept out of harm's way. Do we really need to lock down all of America?
Israel will soon begin testing the blood of 100,000 Israeli citizens, as well as healthcare workers, for COVID-19 antibodies. This will provide insights into how widely the coronavirus has spread and whether Israelis have sufficient herd immunity against a second outbreak. Although no one knows for sure if the antibodies against COVID-19 will protect against reinfection, especially if the virus mutates, the health ministry said that the data will help in preparing the healthcare system and planning for the future. But here is what is important. As of May 6th, new cases were diminishing across most of Israel. The country of more than 9 million citizens confirmed 16,314 cases and 238 deaths from COVID-19. It is hardly a deadly pandemic that is wiping out half the population.
Herd immunity would seem to be an encouraging sign. As the general public is exposed, more and more people would be immune, and therefore future outbreaks would have a lot less damaging effect on the population. However, there are those who are downplaying herd immunity. So is COVID-19 really the Satan bug, or are there people who really wish it is the Satan bug? Why do we continually hear dire reports when, in fact, COVID-19 has had a devastating effect among the elderly and those with health problems? This doesn't mean we're denying the reality of COVID-19 as a serious health problem. It just means that the perspective is all wrong. Is there a sinister agenda at work here?
A growing number of doctors and epidemiological specialists are raising a number of questions about COVID-19 and the way vaccines and medications are being treated. As a matter of fact, some serious charges are being leveled at key figures. In a WorldNet Daily article, Dr. W. Scott McGill, MD, states that it is time to seriously question everything we are told about the coronavirus. Dr. McGill states that Dr. Fauci, quote, is responsible for the death of thousands of Americans by leading the opposition to a drug regimen that is at least 91% effective in curing SARS-CoV-19 infections, close quotes. Dr. Fauci is backing the use of remdesivir, manufactured by Gilead Biosciences, the patent of which is held by China. According to Dr. McGill, Gilead Biosciences was started in China and now has facilities in the United States. Its original name is Wuxi Pharmaceuticals. The company is owned by none other than George Soros.
Elizabeth Lee Liette, MD, a member of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, has raised several questions about Dr. Anthony Fauci. Dr. Fauci has led a push to get remdesivir approved by the FDA under Emergency Use Authorization, known as EUA. Dr. Liette states that such rapid authorization is unusual with the FDA. On the other hand, hydroxychloroquine, HCQ, required 2 months for approval under Emergency Use Authorization for hospitalized COVID-19 patients. HCQ was approved in 1955 for malaria and later for lupus and rheumatoid arthritis. Over the last 55 years, hundreds of millions of prescriptions have been written for HCQ worldwide. The EUA for HCQ did not, however, expand its availability, but imposed restrictions to prevent non-hospitalized patients from accessing the government stockpile of the drug. Dr. Vliet writes, quote, this is a case of lives sacrificed on the altar of money and power, close quotes.
To say the least, there is growing concern, suspicion, and skepticism over the coronavirus pandemic. And the concern is not simply focused on China, but with some of the so-called experts in America.
The increasing outsourcing of healthcare policy to medical bureaucrats during the coronavirus pandemic is removing control from democratic deliberations to rule by experts. It just so happens that these experts disparage the sanctity of human life and are using the coronavirus pandemic to impose their culture of death views on society.
In a provocative article in the American Spectator, Wesley J. Smith argues that the most influential of healthcare overlords hold immoral values not shared by most of the people who would be impacted by their policy prescriptions. One would think that in the midst of this pandemic, bioethicists would place their dehumanizing advocacy efforts on hold. But no such thing is happening. The Journal of Medical Ethics has just published a piece explicitly aimed at COVID-19 patients. The authors want a license to permit seriously ill COVID-19 patients to be consensually experimented upon, even if the research is dangerous and life-threatening.
Shockingly, the authors of the article plunge even deeper into the utilitarian swamp to urge what they call organ donation euthanasia of COVID-19 patients in places where hastening death by doctors is legal. In their view, the coronavirus pandemic will provide them with elderly, sick, and dying patients with body parts they wish to harvest. The COVID-19 virus may be a killer, but those who wish to impose their views on humanity may be even worse killers than the coronavirus.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Our special offer today is the popular book, The Harvest Handbook of Bible Prophecy. This book puts everything you need to know about the last days at your fingertips. And you can have your own copy for a gift of $35 if you live in the United States and $55 if you live in Canada. To place your order, just call our call center at 1-800-652-1144. And you can order it online on our website at swrc.com. Today, the hope that all believers on earth will be caught up to heaven is being challenged in new waves of criticism. Is the rapture really taught in the Bible? Can we really expect Jesus to gather up his followers before the Antichrist is revealed? Our very special offer today is when you order the book, The Harvest Handbook of Bible Prophecy. We will include at no additional charge. The book, Can We Still Believe in the Rapture? This book is also written by Mark Hitchcock and Ed Heinsohn. And it's yours when you order the book, The Harvest Handbook of Bible Prophecy. Now, let me be clear, this book is only available while supplies last. Once we give them all away, that is it. So call now, 1-800-652-1144, or visit our website at swrc.com. Thank you for tuning in today. Tune in tomorrow when Pastor Larry talks with Billy Crone about the coming genetic apocalypse on the Watchmen on the Wall program from Southwest Radio Ministries.